poor, faultless living entities, torture women, and enrage the great souls. The they refers to the previous verse addressed to Diti. O haughty one, you will have two contemptuous sons born of your condemned womb. Unlucky woman, they will cause constant lamentation to all the three worlds. Purport. Demoniac activities are predominant when innocent, faultless living entities are killed, women are tortured, and the great souls engaged in Krishna consciousness are enraged. In a demoniac society, innocent animals are killed to satisfy the tongue, and women are tortured by unnecessary sexual indulgence. Where there are women and meat, there must be liquor and sex indulgence. When these are prominent in society, by God's grace, one can expect a change in social order by the Lord himself or by his bona fide representative. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimane Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Kauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sanyavari Pastitari Shatari. Prabhupada's description of what torture of women is shows that he is not stereotype like they try to make him, some of the critics. They say that he thinks women are less intelligent and therefore women are slaves, and therefore he has no respect for them as living entities. But actually, even those women who are asking that women be given equal rights, this is one of the points they make, that women are just treated as sex objects. And this is the great exploitation by men, to only see them in that way, and only to use them in that way, not to recognize that they're also persons as good as men are persons. So, Srila Prabhupada is saying that here, that this is a demoniac treatment of women. So he even calls it torture. And we may think, well, they're not being tortured, they're enjoying sex life. But no, they're being tortured. They are a spirit soul, they're meant to go back to Godhead. They have a particular body which is more inclined towards a lust. But therefore they should be protected. If they're simply exploited on that basis and tortured because of that tendency in so many different ways, then they will not be able to reach self-realization, Krishna consciousness. So they have to be protected from that. But these are three characteristics of when the demons are in rule or big influence. So one of them is this, sex, particularly making the woman a big object of sex, a sex object as great happiness. Yanmai tunadi griyamedi tukami suchicham. In every way, enticing both the man and the woman to enjoy this thing. This is demoniac. So you can just judge from the Shastra, Chakshu Shastra, and then you see so plainly all over the world how prominent this is. Therefore, the easy conclusion is this is a demoniac civilization. So Prabhupada says, when this comes about, we can expect it cannot keep up. The torture cannot keep up. The killing cannot keep up. There will be a change. So the other thing is killing of faultless living entities. What is the fault of the animals? Just that they're dumb? Just that they were born in those bodies? People don't think like this, whether the animal has any fault or not. They just think they want to eat him. But they should consider, you're going to kill then what is the reason? What has this creature done wrong that it should be killed? Innocent of anything to you, and he has not done anything wrong. So that therefore, this is demoniac. The other night, I read here yesterday in the cabin, Prabhupada's purport about Jesus Christ. He said that it is said that Jesus Christ was very disgusted by the selling and killing of some animals, pigeons and some other animals, in front of the synagogue, and so he rejected the Jewish religion and started the Christian religion based on the commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." So there's a great hypocrisy in the Christian nations. Killing the innocent animals. So this is also demoniac. And then the demons who are doing these things, they act in such a way all around that they enrage the Krishna conscious persons. In so many different ways. Formerly, the demons that used to go and kill or upset the sages in their hermitages. And but still this is going on. When Krishna consciousness is being presented, people are making so much counter-propaganda. Of course, the saintly persons, they also not only become enraged, but they learn to tolerate this. But actually, these things are enraging. Srila Prabhupada, he was seen by people as many times being very angry, very harsh in his denunciation. Why was he so enraged or angry? So you can know that he's actually, he has all good intentions for everyone. He is naturally very peaceful and self-satisfied. He wants nothing for himself. He just wants to give the best thing to everyone. So if he's enraged, why is he angry? He's angry because they're killing the animals and the human beings, and they're torturing the women and other living entities. And in the name of religion, they're preaching so many bogus things. So Prabhupada was enraged. He was enraged at his own countrymen in India, what they had done. He said, "These rascals, I want to teach these rascals. Therefore, I come to America and get some following of the young people, just to come back and show these rascals that they're giving up their best culture in favor of technology." So he was very angry when he would meet so many different demoniac persons. So when we see a saintly person enraged, that's another symptom. So then Prabhupada, he prophesizes or predicts when these are prominent in society, these demoniac features. By God's grace, one can expect a change in the social order by the Lord himself or by his bona fide representative. Purichanaya sadhanam vinashaya tujuskritam dharmasam sapanartaya sambhavam yuge yuge. Krishna comes for that when there is too much enraging of the innocent and the saintly persons. Then he comes. In every different age, just to set things right, protect the devotee and annihilate the demon. When there is a rise in irreligion and a decrease in religion, I come to set it right. Or his bona fide representative also. So the bona fide representative of Krishna is so potent that he can bring about a change in society. So this Krishna consciousness movement is meant for that. Well, sometimes devotees, they're hearing this statement and they're asking, "Oh, well, when is it coming? When is the big change coming?" So we can expect it, but we are the ones who have to bring about the change. Not that we just wait for it to come, but it depends on us. So for any change, we have to become, well, we think, well, how big is the change going to be? Are just a few people are going to become devotees? Or does this mean that actually, by the force of Krishna and his representative, that all these things can be turned around? All the torture and killing and enraging of the saintly persons can all be turned around? How much can be done? How much is going to happen? But again, it comes back to, well, what can we take? If we are the ones who have to bring it about, then even if it was brought to us on a silver platter, would we want it? Could we take it? Do we want the change? How much do we want the change? How pure are we to conduct it? We have to see. One devotee was asking that if we are going to bring about the change and turn all the karma of the material world, then how is it that even when a small thing happens in the material world, it seems to affect us? Just like in our community, we had a fire and bad propaganda, and different things happened. And it seems to be that we are considerably affected by the material nature, by things that are not mass movements. So how are we going to turn a whole mass tendency if we get turned by a little tendency? So I replied that therefore these things can be seen as training or tests for the devotees, that if they can get trained up to take a little adverse condition and go on in Krishna consciousness, then they'll be more fit for more service. Because to make a change means that we have to overcome a great deal of difficulty. We have to overcome the whole society. This is the prophecy, or this is the wish of the devotee. At least it's the wish of the great soul. A neophyte devotee, he doesn't even want it. Maybe he's thinking, well, I'd like to see it happen. Maybe I get a big post or something. But actually, I just want to just take it easy. Well, that's not going to happen like that. So somebody wishes for it to happen, but then the devotees have to actually be trained. So this can be seen as one training by Krishna. If you get separated, if you get harassed, can you continue to be a devotee? Then as you get fit to do these things, you say, oh no, you mean if I get fit to withstand trouble, then Krishna's going to stand more trouble? Is that the principle of that devotional service leads to more devotional service? But yes. But it means not more trouble, but although you were troubled by a little thing that happened in the ashram, you became strong and purified, and now when even a bigger thing happens, you won't be troubled because you're getting trained up. You'll just be, because you were willing to take on some responsibility in your temple, in your devotional life, you'll be able to take on responsibility for the whole world. And if you can't take on responsibility in your ashram, then how are you going to take responsibility for the world? It's a big joke. Krishna said, these persons, they're devotees, they're chanting Hare Krishna, but they cannot take over the world. The devotees asked Prabhupada, when is it going to happen? He said, oh, it could happen in 14 days. But for 5 minutes, but you have to be humble. So there are so many qualities of a devotee. And when Krishna sees them, then such a thing may be possible. So there may be areas in which we may work in politics, just like we're starting a little budding political lobby in Washington, D.C., as other religions are doing. But that is not, it is not just by some paper propaganda. It has to be by actually changing people's minds. So it comes back again to us. We have to be fixed up devotees. It begins there. Not with that you have to take some political action in the world, but you have to rise early and you have to go to Mangalarti, attend the morning program. control your senses from attachment, fear, and anger. Be a sage of steady mind. Arjuna asks in the Bhagavad Gita, what is a man of transcendence like? How does he speak? How does he walk? How does he sit? You have to be. Then Krishna answers, he's like this. He's very steady. When there's happiness or when there's unhappiness, he remains fixed in higher intelligence. He's like the tortoise. He can use his senses, but when they're not meant to be used, when it's forbidden, he can withdraw them. He's not affected by these things. This is a person in Krishna consciousness. He takes shelter in me. So when we fulfill these symptoms of the transcendentalist, then we can think, when is it going to happen? As is stated here. And we can see it happening. We can work in the Krishna consciousness movement. And be, on the one hand, satisfied. I wrote about Prabhupada and Lilamrita, how on one hand in New York early days, he was very satisfied, very happy with a little thing, a comparatively little thing for one who had such a big vision. If he could start a little love feast in the storefront and some people come, or have a chanting in the park and some hippies come, he was very happy, very satisfied. But on the other hand, he was looking far off, that this was a step towards much, much more. Whereas his followers, they couldn't comprehend, sometimes either. They couldn't comprehend that what they had just done was auspicious or nice. And certainly couldn't see the future. Or thought that what they did was nice, but that was probably the limit. And they held that one festival in Tompkins Square Park. We wrote that the devotee said, well, Prabhupada, that was great. So we could go every week. And Prabhupada said, every day. So we have to have this kind of spirit of being very absorbed and happy at what we immediately have, some little service, a little land for Krishna, and some preaching, self-satisfaction, whatever is there, and then wanting to expand it as Krishna desires. And also we have to be completely convinced philosophically, in the philosophy, that this movement definitely has the potency and definitely should be the world culture. But if you don't even believe that, if in your heart of hearts you think, well, I don't know, I've taken to this, but how could everyone become Krishna conscious? Like the Karmis say, well, what would everybody do if everyone became devotees? How would things be run? So we should not share that. Prabhupada, he always would speak as if he suspected his American disciples of a tendency to be attached to their own culture. Don't mind, he would say, when he would heavily criticize, as if we were still attached. Don't mind, he said. But this culture with your big roads and your buildings, it is simply useless. So you shouldn't be attached to it. Don't be proud that you're Americans. So we can't have any of that in us. Well, I mean, if everything really became Krishna conscious, that would be not possible. We wouldn't want it. No, we have to be convinced of it also. That everything could be adjusted. Maybe not by us, we're too small and fallen. But the Krishna conscious philosophy, when taken up by stalwart devotees, enough of them, Shraddha, that it can bring about everything. Shraddha means that even in the beginning, you're convinced that if this could come about, I could become completely satisfied. I wouldn't need anything else but Krishna consciousness. And similarly, the whole world could become Krishna conscious. It's practical. It can be done. But the only trouble is that they won't listen and they won't take to it. So let us try anyway against all odds and make some progress for Krishna and keep fighting and keep preaching. That is it. Spirit and the attitude. And with that attitude, not only is one self-satisfied and he's fixed up in determination, but things actually happen. With faith in the spiritual master, things actually happen. Srila Ramaswar Maharaj wrote in the Sankirtan newsletter just a little update of how it was going around the country. I received my copy yesterday. Around the world, said that countries are collecting 3, 4, 10 times what they did when Prabhupada was present. In Australia, they're collecting $100,000 a day in their marathon, and Los Angeles, 15 a day, and all these other countries, Europe, Italy, 30 a day, London, 30 a day, France. So 10 times what it was. Who could have imagined that? One devotee, he collected one day $7,800. So I know in the old days I could never dream of such a thing. That much in a year. So it's more and more is possible, and more and more. And actually, how much money is that? I heard that this the man who was the director of this latest science fiction movie, E.T., who also did the Star Wars, now he's personally making $1 million a day from his movie. So we're making, a whole country is only making $100,000 a day in Krishna consciousness, and one man in America is making $1 million a day. So on the worldly standard, we've got so much to go. Or just compared to other religions, so much to go. But as we're going in leaps and bounds, and therefore we can keep going. But the center is he a real devotee? Can I get Krishna's thinking? Can I give him the money? Is he just going to spend it? Can I give him the authority? If I make him a guru, is he going to ruin everything? If I give him some land, is he going to squander it? If I give him some devotees, is he going to abuse them? We read in Nectar Devotion that Krishna is very reluctant, in one sense, to give away pure love of God. He'll give other things first, liberation or material benefits. Because when he gives bhakti, then he has to give himself. Because that's what bhakti is. That the person, the bhakta, he doesn't want wealth, he doesn't want liberation. He wants Krishna himself. He wants to play with Krishna. He wants to be Krishna's mother or father. So that Krishna's, to actually be so intimate with Krishna, he doesn't want to just give that. All right, I'm yours. So he waits to see how painstaking you are or how sincere you are for these, before you can earn these things. How can we change the culture unless we chant our rounds? How can we preach to anyone unless we are pure in our, strict in our sadhana? Then such talks about, well, is it possible we're going to change the world? They have no meaning. But the time is right. Where there are women and meat, there must be liquor and sex indulgence. When these are prominent in society, then by God's grace one can expect a change in social order by the Lord himself or by his bona fide. So the corrupt is indicative of the change. Like Narada Muni, he used to like to stir things up so that the evil would rise. It almost seems superficially when we read the Krishna book that he worked against Krishna almost. Or it's like Vasudev, he made a trick whereby Kamsa would not kill his sons. He said, don't worry, the children that come, they may not be boys. A son is going to kill you, and anyway, it's the seventh son. So just take it easy, don't kill anybody, and I'll deliver this children to you as they're born. All right, Kamsa said. He was pacified by the intelligent maneuver. But then Narada went to him and said, well, why are you so peaceful? Any child, it might be that any child is the... could be considered the eighth child. So then Kamsa got agitated again, and he did his persecutions. Because he said Narada wanted the he saw that this Kamsa is evil, and there's going to be, from him there's going to be nothing but evil sooner or later. So he wanted it to rise right away. Why did Narada Muni want to increase the evil, Gauravani? Yeah, because then when it got bad enough, Krishna would come. So, when they say, when winter comes, can spring be far behind? So when these things are prominent, they say, oh, this is terrible age, this is a terrible age for Krishna consciousness. But it means that it's rising, 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 and then in one way or another, there has to be change. So our job is not so much to build a bomb or become a counter-spy or even to try to become the President of the United States. But we just have to become devotees so that when the Lord and the Lord's representative announce their plans, there are some devotees on hand to carry out the activities of pure devotional service and show, man, what is all this talk about Varnashram society and our puzzle, how to enact it? Much of it is just that we have to become devotees so that we can carry it out. Just like prasadam. There has to be a devotee to offer the prasadam. If the person is bogus, then Krishna won't accept the offering, and you can distribute tons of khichdi, and it's not prasadam. There has to be someone who's actually bona fide to make an offering to Krishna through the disciplic succession. There has to be someone to worship a deity. There has to be someone to preach the parampara. Only a devotee can do the different things. So we have to be devotees. Then the devotee can be Brahman, and he can teach others, do like this, do like that. So we have to become devotees. And then whatever Krishna likes, in our time we may see X amount of change or Y amount of change, that's up to Krishna. We just keep trying to spread Krishna consciousness by the things that Prabhupada has given us, developing the farm, distributing books, raising the children, as many children as we get, 500, just doing what we're supposed to do, and enjoying the good results in Krishna consciousness. Oh, are there any questions or comments? You have a question? Why do you raise your hand?
Because I'm for a team.
Yeah, we have to make some intelligent question. You're too small. Any question? You also, you don't talk so much. Just become a good devotee, and then you'll be qualified. Comment?
You said how we should be satisfied with the little things.
Yeah, and looking for the most.
A lot of times we see that devotees are doing little things, and somehow or other they're not getting satisfied. And then they might make some rhetoric or some talk, I want to do something, but they just don't see the idea just to rise up and grasp the order and just rise to the occasion and take up the order. And they talk that they're not satisfied doing the little things, they want to do something greater, but at the same time they just wind up decreasing even the little things.
That's taking things materially. We have to always go after the quality. Like, I remember one boy joined us in Boston, and then he saw that other movements, like transcendental meditation, they were taking off much faster than we. And so he wanted, in his foolish way, wanted to join some kind of spiritual group. And he said, well, this group is not moving like the other group. I want to join that other group. Because I want to be part of something that's really going to make change in the world. And it doesn't seem to be moving that fast. So that's completely artificial. Even if the other group grows big as anything, which it did, it has no effect. It just was like a big balloon. It popped. And the Krishna consciousness, you have to see that this is the quality. Like I said, if we have a guru cool and we only have 5 children or 20 children, but this is the only way to raise children. So if you want to teach more children, you go to the Karmi school. So this is the school, but this has to be developed, or whatever the project is in Krishna consciousness. So it's just, like you say, it's just a rhetoric to say that I'm not patient, I can't be patient with the small growth of this thing. But there's no alternative. You have to stay with this and grow if you want Krishna consciousness to grow. Starting with the small. In the material world, it may be different. Like you may be impatient to grow some trees and wait 5 years. So everything is so, you can get everything sped up and everything ready-made. So you can go out and buy some big trees, or why even buy trees? Just go to the grocer and buy your fruit. And so you don't have to be patient. You don't have to take care of a wife and be responsible. Just get a prostitute. But spiritually, you can't make a fast substitute or get a new model or join a different group. This is the Bhagavad Dharma, and it has to grow from these devotees, and that's it. And you can't make any artificial speeding up. You can speed up by purity. It's like we made this book, Japa Reform Notebook. So many devotees are appreciating, oh, this is very good, this is helping us in our Krishna consciousness. So unless things like that, unless people improve their japa, then they can't just make the movement grow artificially. Or it'll grow like TM. So devotees who are, like you say, if they're just impatient, they have to be patient. Or even if within the Krishna consciousness movement they think, well, this farm is small, I want to go to New Vrindavan. But even that, this also has to grow. And this is your spiritual master may be asking you to develop this, or you've come here and cast in your lot and you're responsible now for seeing it grow. So this being patient and growing what you've been given to develop, That's a good spiritual quality. Even the example of New Vrindavan, if you want to jump on that bandwagon, but they developed that over so many years of just that kind of a determined endeavor. So follow the example and develop something else, and then you'll get credit. And then you can say with satisfaction, how I started this and it was small and there was difficulties and we kept to it, and now it's nice. You can see it happen, and then you'll have much faith as you see it happen. So what that mentality is like a material vision of growth. Yes.
So in that same mentality, sometimes it's not that they lose patience. A lot of times, they don't, the expression, count your blessings. They don't actually see, how is it that we can actually try and see that actually those small things, those small little victories are actually relishable. They're actually relishing that small thing. I remember when we were digging the well from the spring. It took months and months, and it was a great pleasure, you know, to connect it, you know. But it wasn't anything, it wasn't an out of the ordinary day, it was just another cold, you know, day, and there was something about that, which even to this day sustains some of us, you know. How can we actually try and see those things and develop that?
Because the goal of these things is to please Krishna. So when with our homegrown devotional service, bit by bit, we do something and then make something for Krishna, then you just feel satisfaction that I made this meal for Krishna. I cooked the different offerings and Krishna is accepting it. So that's the biggest thing, to please Krishna by your own activities. And so you honestly know that you did this and you're offering it to Krishna. So it's Krishna's grace. Devotees have pleased Krishna by giving whatever they could, even if it was little. Like Sridhar Kolavecha. He offered Krishna everything he had. I heard that Jayapataka Maharaj was reading in some of the Bengali literature some more about him, and that he had some friends. When Kolavecha Sridhar was, you know, he used to sell banana leaves, so he made very little, few pennies. But whatever he would take, half of it he would give to the Ganges. So some of his friends said, it's all right, you're living in such poverty, it's ridiculous. You're a businessman, so why don't you just sell these banana leaves and start accumulating some money for a while and try to build up your your banana leaf business, but immediately you take and you give whatever you have to Krishna, to the Ganges, and you're never going to grow. So he thought it over and he said, no, I don't want to wait for anything. I don't want to grow. I just want to give half of what I get to Krishna, that's all. So he wasn't the biggest banana leaf man in that area, but someone else could have figured out, well, actually, if he did this in the long run, he would have given more to Krishna. But he's famous for giving a few pennies always to Krishna. So he got that satisfaction because he was actually in touch with Lord Chaitanya. And that's the only answer I can think of. That if the spiritual master is pleased with the little thing, then... And as I say, it's like, because it's actually homegrown, or it's coming out of your own community, that's why it's so exciting. Like with Prabhupada, he was there with his devotees, and it was a great adventure. There was no Krishna consciousness. He wasn't even recognized. You can look in retrospect or on the transcendental level and say, well, he's God's confidential servant. But not many people recognize it. So with a little band of men, he tried to do something, and then there was some success, and he was happy, and they were happy. So it wasn't a question of, well, this was too small. It was all we had. This was the reality of the Krishna consciousness movement, that there's no gain, and he's trying to make some gains. So you don't say, well, this is small compared to, what you were saying reminds me of like when the railroads met in the United States, they built it from east to west. So that was big time compared to what you did, but that was for the karmis, it wasn't for Krishna. But when you join a pipe for Krishna, or when you hold a festival for Krishna, it's not so influential in the material sense, but it was actually done for Krishna, and Krishna's pleased, and his representatives are pleased, and it is going to change things, because also Krishna conscious things, they're very influential. That faith has to be there also. That by doing a little Sankirtan Jagya, the world is actually being maintained with its eatables, Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam. If the whole world took to it, the whole world would change. But by the little Jagya we're doing now, the karmis are benefiting. So that's one thing, that the joining of the well here has got influential effects. That's why you're feeling so pleased, and because it's pleasing Krishna. So similarly, we have to be pleased like that. Krishna told the residents of Vrindavan, don't worship Indra, just stick to the Govardhan Hill, be happy with your duties, and serve Krishna. So they work in that way. They're not thinking, well, maybe in some big city somewhere else, something real big is going on. But no, we don't have anything to do with that. We live here, and we have to please Krishna here. With our own hands, and our own labor, and our own tests from Krishna, and we know it's all real because we're doing it, and we see that Krishna is pleased. We have our own deity, and Krishna's representative is saying he's pleased or he's not pleased, and this is our progress. We can't be so satisfied by somebody else's progress. Just like we hear Los Angeles collect $15,000 a day. Wow, that's great. But it's not much. But we're pleased that we collected whatever is big for us. That's what really, really gets satisfaction, even though it's not big compared to what somebody else does. That's the reality for us. We have to accept it. Well, we're not so big. But we have to improve and improve. That's why you feel satisfaction, because you're actually accomplishing it. Those who run from place to place and try to just jump on some bandwagon or don't actually do anything themselves, they'll never feel that satisfaction. Like we put on the Rath Yatra in Washington, D.C. It wasn't as big as Los Angeles, but we got the satisfaction of serving Krishna in our prescribed duty. So if they're not satisfied with the little things, then they're just not understanding how to work in Krishna consciousness and how to be satisfied. They don't understand the science, they don't understand the dynamics, or they're not willing to do it the right way. Yes?
Is there a difference between doing something yourself and then offering it to Krishna and acting as Krishna's instrument?
Doing something yourself and offering it to Krishna and acting as Krishna's instrument.
Doing something and knowing that I'm doing this and I'm going to offer this to Krishna as my offering, mm-hmm. and then acting and thinking that I'm simply an instrument in Krishna's hands that he's using.
I don't understand the difference. When you do something, you have to think that I'm an instrument. We don't serve Krishna directly. You serve Krishna through the spiritual master. So when you say, I'm offering a fruit or a leaf to Krishna, you actually offer it to the spiritual master and he offers it to Krishna. So we are always an instrument in our offering to Krishna. That's also another reality of service, of satisfaction. That if you're trying to serve Krishna without pleasing the spiritual master in some big way, then again you won't get the real satisfaction, because that's not the science. So you want to serve Lord Chaitanya's movement and spread Sankirtan all over the world according to what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says should happen. But then your spiritual master says, here, do this menial duty. But that's, by doing that, then you're part of the Sankirtan movement. Yes?
How do we know if we're taking our service materially?
If you get material results, if by your service you don't find yourself improving, if you remain agitated, serving, like the men who were rowing the boat, but the anchor was in. So they knew that was, you'd call it material. There was no good result. So you may serve and do this and that, but if still you remain full of material desires after receiving so many instructions in the matter, then it's offensive, material. But if you serve spiritually, then you start feeling good. You're reducing your sleeping, mating, eating, defending. There are so many symptoms. As you serve, you should be developing these symptoms. So then your service is material. If you do it and you remain agitated. Ravana?
There's some connection with patience, enthusiasm, and the determination. And we understand that if we're not, we feel we don't have any patience, or we lost our determination, we're not enthusiastic, isn't this also a sign of material infection?
Yes, if we've lost all those things, those are more symptoms. That's the most precious thing, to have some taste. If you feel you lost all your taste, then you have to go back to the source. Like that's a standard recommendation. A devotee may be doing many things. He's given a lot of responsibilities, managing big projects, and then he just feels completely wiped out. Without any determination one day or anything. So he knows, well, I better do some chanting, I better read Prabhupada's books, and just do those things and nothing else for a while. So the taste is the most important thing, or the drive to be patient, to be determined, to have all those qualities. So yes, if we find we don't have them, then that's a failure, and we have to take care of it. All right. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.